Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
So, Bill, I've got to share with you my most recent ghost story. I was dreaming about my mom, who, as you know, she passed away 4 years ago in December. My dad passed away 4 years ago in October, like now. So, you know, those kinds of things are on my mind. But I was dreaming about talking on the phone with her. And I was saying, like, why haven't you picked up my phone? The phone, like, why haven't you called me back? It was just this normal phone call, right? So something woke me up in the middle of that phone call, but I was confused because I was like, wait, I was just on the phone. Like, what am I doing here? How did I get here? Right? So very real phone call with my mom. So I get up and I'm doing my thing around my house and I go to my laundry room. And for those of you who have side-by-side laundry, dryer and washer and dryer, you know, you have to take the stuff out of one to put it in the other, right? And while one's open, the door to the other is open. Well, mine is a front loader. And so the door is on the front. So I opened it, I left it open, and I got distracted. I noticed that one of my laundry baskets has a cloth liner. And I'm like, okay, I need to wash that. It was looking kind of gross. So it took a couple extra seconds and took it out of the basket. While I'm doing that, the door to the dryer slams shut. Okay. So there was some vibration. Maybe a truck went by. No big deal, except for that it reopened and shut again. So you know how you would shut the dryer door, but it doesn't dry close all the way, and you would reopen it and shut it? It did that on its own.
Whoa.
Right? So this week's episode, Bill and I are telling ghost stories. It's October. It's the time of the spooky. We're going to share our best real ghost stories with you and also share why this seems to be the theme at this time of year and how it might just be your brain not playing tricks on you, but actually allowing more information in. So welcome to the show, Bill McKenna.
Oh, well, this is a very unusual episode, but then again, you know, it is, we're coming up on Halloween. So if ever we were going to talk about some of these bizarre things happening, now's the time.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that weird stuff happens to me and Leah, our business manager, all the time. Like, this is a regular Wednesday for us. But most of the time, even myself, I'm like, maybe I can explain it away. This one I could not explain away. But I know that it was likely my mom, because she was on my mind. She was so present in my field, right? It was just like any other day when she was still alive, when I'd been talking to her on the phone. So I think it was definitely her. And what's interesting is when I have one of those events, Leah also has one of those events.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Usually it's in threes, myself, my aunt, and my daughter. My aunt lives in Detroit, and she will have something similar happen on the same day.
Wow.
In fact, when my dad was still alive but had Alzheimer's and couldn't speak, he couldn't communicate, we would all dream about him on the same night. And it would be a very similar dream, usually about him wanting to drive the car. So we would wake up the next day and then we'd all call each other. And sure enough, each of us had had that dream. And there were many, many things where he was visiting us while he was still alive. Interesting, right? So he was a ghost who was still alive. Really, really crazy.
That's an amazing story. And Gosh, you'd expect nothing less from somebody who's related to you, that they have some special abilities.
Well, he did. So I'll tell, I have proof. So Leah, he was always showing up for Leah because for Leah, she was so close to her grandparents, and it was so hard for her, this whole, time in which they were passing. And she was there with them all the time, always, taking care of them. So she was at her house, and her dog would sit and look at her, and she would swear that all of a sudden his eyes looked like her grandpa. And I'm like thinking to myself, well, it's probably just grief. But I'd seen it too in our own dog. Like all of a sudden, the look changed. I'm like, this is weird. And you do think you're losing your mind, right? So we decided that what Leah needed to do is ask for proof. Like, if you're here, if this is you visiting me, prove it. So the very next day, she gets up and her dog has a bunch of gunk in his eye, an eye infection, which I think is kind of unusual for dogs. But so she's like, oh crap, I'm gonna have to go get him some medicine. Not a few minutes later, my mom calls and says, hey, Leah, can you come over? She just lived a block or two away. Grandpa's got an eye infection.
Ah.
Same eye, exact same eye. So there was her proof.
Wow, amazing. That's an amazing story, that interconnectedness, and it even transcending the human, and wow, that's amazing.
And it really changed my idea of what a ghost is, too. Because there's lots of times when you're thinking about somebody and all of a sudden they call you, right? There's all of those kinds of things where people are transmitting information all the time, right? So that is just one of probably 100 stories of my dad showing up while he was still alive, but clearly outside of his body, right? So it's, energy, but it's also a projection of a personage, right? He found a way to project something that looked and felt like him to us.
Yeah. Wow. He found his way. And interesting, you would almost think that, the person closest to Leah was, or not person, but the being, there's the dog, and looking through the dog's eyes.
Right.
He's interested in Leah, he
Yeah.
loves Leah. And there is the being, the dog, and start looking through the dog's eyes at Leah,
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Super interesting, right? And this kind of plays into what we're going to be talking about more today is that there really is a part of ourselves that has the ability to experience these things. Now, Leah and I were kind of born this way a bit. So what that would mean is that there's a part of our brain stem that is a little bit more open. It allows certain things in to make contact with the frontal lobes for consideration by the frontal lobes. Now, most other people would never even have noticed that subtle change in the animal. But for us, we are able to notice those things. And then our brain doesn't go into fight or flight. We immediately start to process that as though it's everyday information. And there's lots of us out there in the world who are like this naturally, a little bit more what you call open. Well, it turns out it's literally the part of the brain that restricts information. So the brain doesn't get overloaded, so you can only handle certain things. So especially, if you get into fight or flight, that will tighten down. And then your frontal lobes never consider that information. It's just not connected. But there's a way for people to make that happen, let that part of the brain relax so that the information does get in and the frontal lobes can consider it. And it turns out so interestingly that this time of year, this October, November, is the time when more people experience it. And it has to do with brainwaves. It has to do with the angle of the sun to the earth. It has to do with light and shadow, and everything to do with how this part of the brain perceives all of that. Isn't that an interesting thing?
That's fascinating. I had heard that there was a study done by the CIA which had to do with the natural ability that we have to perceive. They were very interested in the ability to perceive beyond the normal five senses. And as it turned out, the thing they figured out was what's called sigil time. I sit you know what? I'm gonna screw it up. Sigil sisri, something with an S time.
Okay.
But basically what it is, I city sigil time is, anyway, if somebody knows, you put it in the comments. Basically it's the position of the sun relative to the earth, and during this time, when the sun is on the far side of the earth relative to your position on the earth, it blocks out the electromagnetic rays that are coming in. And there's a calculator for this, by the way. It's bugging me that I can't remember the darn name of this now, but I know somebody will
But you
comment.
can look it up for later on in the episode.
So anyway, they had a 400% increase in accuracy. 400%. So this is your ability to start sensing other things is scientifically proven. That is the reduction in the noise, if you will.
Yeah, that's
Well,
that's exactly it.
yeah.
Yeah. In the summertime, there's so much going on and there's so much more light. And you're getting up earlier and but physiologically, this time would be, you're up before dawn planting crops, right? And all the physical activity that goes with that and staying up late and taking care of animals. And now it's like festivals and going out to dinner. There's a lot more, exactly what you said, noise or information that this reticular activating system, this part of the nervous system, limbic system, fight or flight system, takes in. And so it will actually close a little bit so that it's not overwhelmed with too much information. So when the light starts to get less, it's dark earlier, right? It's dark later in the morning, less light, less noise, right? We're doing less things. We're not out and about at those times. The daylight shortens and melatonin rises earlier, and it guides the path towards a more alpha or theta state, so slower frequencies. And those slower frequencies are linked with intuition, creativity, and altered perception. So less light, slower brain waves, heightened sensory integration. The brain lets more in. And it lets it into those frontal lobes to be considered. So you virtually, quote unquote, see more. You're always actually seeing it with your eyes, but you're not actually processing it with your brain. And this is that thing that people would call the veil thinning this time of year.
Wow. Isn't that fascinating? I didn't know that it was associated with a particular time of year. I had no idea. So that's very interesting.
Well, if you just think about the celebrations, so, and the celebrations go back as far into antiquity as we have history. So the Greeks would celebrate at this time of year a celebration to Demeter and to her daughter Persephone. And that's where the legend comes about the seasons changing and the light getting less as Persephone descends back down into the realm of Hades during that time. Demeter is the goddess of wheat and harvest. So harvest time is ending. They're lighting bonfires because they're burning the fields, you know, burning what's left over from the fields, right?
Yeah.
Bonfires. The shadows get long. Actually, firelight is infrared light. So we get infrared light into our eyes during that time.
Oh, interesting.
Also, your peripheral vision gets limited in a way because it's dark out, you know, right to the edge. So your nervous system starts to reach for what's not there and you get a little spooky feeling. Samhain is at this time, which is Celtic pagan rituals. In Christianity, we have All Souls or All Saints. And interestingly enough, you know, in the 4th century, that was celebrated in April in the springtime.
Mm.
And not until the 8th century was it shifted to this time of year, October, to go along with the celebration of a construction of something. One of the popes wanted it to be then. But they were still on this equinox period.
Oh.
And in like old British lore, during this time of year, people would go around and knock on doors and a person would hand them a cake, a soul cake. So you would give a cake and then the person at the door would give a blessing for your ancestors, for those who were dead. So worldwide around this equinox, so in the Southern Hemisphere, it's going to be a little different. We celebrate these things in Mexico or Latin America. It's Dios de los Muertos. Dios de los Muertos. You know, the Day of the Dead celebration. It's the day after Halloween for us. And now in many Catholic traditions, that has been added in that celebration. So this time of year is when we have the veil thinning and we are said to be in communication with those who have passed. So guys, if you are loving this conversation and you really want to know more about this and more how to open up that part of your brain that can see more beyond the veil, we have a class that is beginning on October 30th, 2025. It's a 3-part series. One of them will be held on a portal day. The other will be held on 11/11. So join us for that.
Okay. I looked up it's called Sidral time, SIDREAL time, Sidral time, I believe. And there's, interestingly enough, for everybody out there, there are calculators. You can put in your location into the calculator, the Sidral calculator, and it will tell you when that is in your local time. So that's another fascinating thing that you can utilize to your advantage.
Okay, let's take our first break. We'll hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. And when we get back, we'll tell some more ghost stories.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we are back, and Bill and I are telling ghost stories. It is Halloween time, but we're also talking about why this time of year really lends itself to the weird and supernatural. You said you had a story, Bill, about the Grim Reaper of all things.
You know, this story is absolutely bizarre. You know, and I really, you know, these stories, I almost don't want to, you know, tell them because it feels as if, you know, like, well, that person needs meds, you know. So I really, you know, didn't want to tell this one, but this happened to me right about 2009. Or so. So it was quite a while ago. And I remember, I can remember I was basically, I was aboard the vessel that I owned, and I was moored in Avalon Harbor at the time. And I was alone and having a wonderful night's sleep. And all of a sudden, I was awakened. I opened my eyes, and I was laying on my side, and I opened my eyes, and there beside my bed, standing, just as clear as Liz Larson is right there, the Grim Reaper. And I mean, he's the full go Grim Reaper. And he's got, he is, it's matte. It's like a hooded, he has a hood, and he's just standing there, and he's not saying anything. I cannot see the face. It's just black. It's a black. He's wearing a black hoodie. It was incredibly real, and I was wide awake. And he wasn't saying a word. And I go, my first instinct was, I was kind of happy about it, because I was like, I asked him, I said, "Oh my God, it's time to go." And I got this. And, you know, he shook his head, you know, no. And I was like, well, that's confusing. All right. And somehow I was like, "You're here for an aspect of me." And he was like, And I was like, and then I was that, you know, this is how ridiculous this is.
So for people on radio, Bill was nodding his head. Yes.
Yes. He nodded. Yes. And I don't know why, you know, to this day, I'm still kicking myself like, "Bill, you know, you could have asked some more questions, you know, about what aspect was it?" But I was, at the time, I was like kind of, you know, bored and disappointed that it wasn't time to go. So I was like, "Oh gosh, whatever. Just do whatever you want." You know, and I was like, "Do whatever you want. I was like, close my eyes. I'm going back to sleep." I closed my eyes. I went back to sleep, and that was it, you know. But boy, I could have made so much more out of that encounter. But it was very, I guess, in hindsight, you know, it was interesting. You know, I've thought about it a lot of times, you know, since then. And I was like, you know, it was just that old me that was being so Bill.
Interesting. So, this is not a promo for Netflix. I'm not affiliated anyway. But if you have not yet started the series called Sandman, The Sandman, it's a good thing it's just called Sandman. It's a Neil Gaiman adaptation of, I think, one of his books. But it's about this. There's the Grim Reaper. The Sandman is actually the dream. He is the Lord of Dreams. And then there is destiny and desire and disaster, and it's great. But this aspect of the Grim Reaper is depicted so in such an interesting way. And what's interesting about your story, the way that they depict that, it sounds like you would have had death and the dream would have been visiting at the same time. It sounds like that's what that was in their depiction. So death is actually who greets you and takes you over, and you know, in all kinds of our history, and there is this character. And the dream also is very closely related to it. They're, well, siblings, but the dream has a death aspect. Like if you die in a dream, you die for real, kind of thing. So everybody out there, if you haven't started, I think it's a fantastically and very, very beautifully shot series. It's kind of amazing. It's a little bit creepy, but not. It's way more fantasy. Anyway, I wanted to go back to something Bill said, that you don't want to tell the story because people will think you need meds. So there really is an aspect of people who have this part of their brain wide open that we call mental illness. It's a form of hyperconnectivity, meaning information gets in, and then what the brain does with it next is the important part. You've got a well-balanced brain. If you're healthy in your mind, it'll go to your frontal lobes for consideration. And then if you're really connected and a healthy brain, everything else will, all the rest of the parts of the brain will talk to each other and you'll come up with a really good new idea. So, in Bill's case, he was like, okay, cool, do what you want. I'm going back to sleep, right? He didn't go crazy. He didn't, you know, lose his mind over it, but, you know, it's still in the back of his mind, haunts him a little bit. But with a brain that is open, but the hyperconnectivity is not orderly, you get what we call nuts, crazy, you know, schizophrenic, hallucinations. Now, it does not mean that what that person's seeing is not there. Because remember, we can only see about 1% of the light spectrum normally. When you are on drugs, you know, with high DMT, you can see sometimes more of that. And there's this aspect of hallucination as well. So it's a case of where it's not resourceful in any way. And so what the drugs do is they shut that back down. They shut that reticular activating system back down. They shut down the hyperconnectivity. The problem is that most people feel terrible. They don't feel like themselves. And they don't have that expansive feeling. They feel numb. So the trade-off for them usually seems untenable. They stop taking the drugs. But if you could harmonize that brain, which one of our practitioners who is a psychotherapist does, she gets that brain harmonized, and then it can receive the information it needs in a really, really resourceful way, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's great to be able to look at it that way from that lens, that it's merely just resourceful or unresourceful
Unresourceful.
information, and having that connectedness throughout the brain. Without having it chaotic, you know,
Well, they don't really know what how to bring it into their real life. They don't know how to ground it into an everyday situation. And so for that person, they feel like they're a step outside of reality, which they are. That's what it looks like to all of us. And it's chaotic and unresourceful. But let's talk about a resourceful ghost story. You ready for another one?
Oh, yeah.
One of our practitioners from Australia just did her exit interview, just graduated. And during that call, they tell us stories about what worked for their sessions and what didn't. And we were talking about this time of year and Halloween and kind of ghost stories. And she said, well, she said, I was attending a class about 3 years ago and her mother had passed away just about around then, just a few months before, a cognitive movement class. And she said that in one of her eye positions, she kind of found this spot where she felt like she shifted reality for a second. Her nervous system kind of slowed down, everything calmed. And she said through the door, just next to her, her mom was standing there. Now her mom had died from cancer and this practitioner had taken care of her while she died. But she said she was standing there like fully dressed, really healthy, as though she had just walked in the room to see what was going on. And she said she stopped what she was doing and looked and said, Mom, like, what are you doing? And she said it was as real as anything else she'd ever experienced. And she said when she all of a sudden got that little bit of, wait, this isn't right, she came right back into the session that she was working on in the class. But she knew for that moment that for that split second, she saw what was actually there. Mm-hmm. And then she couldn't. So remember, again, we can only see about 1% of the light spectrum. And if these people that are in our lives, but we just can't see them because they phased out of the light spectrum that we can see, if what they are is that energy, that light spectrum, of course they're standing right there. If you turned back on even 10% more of the light spectrum for us, we would be shocked at what's standing right next to us. So for that moment, her system allowed that information in. Her frontal lobes were able to process it because she was in a calm state. You know, she was in a cognitive movement session. It connected with the right part of her brain. And she got to have this amazing experience. And she said, then from there, all kinds of stuff happened in the house. So it was like, oh, you could see me. And then her mom was kind of communicating all the time, you know, for quite a long period after that. So interesting, right?
Yeah. Wow. That's something. It's kind of just amazing how she was able to physically see.
Yeah.
You know, these things seem to happen just shockingly out of nowhere. You know, you're not expecting it. Yeah. I remember one day I was, for some reason, you know, I was driving and all of a sudden, you know, a text comes in and there were some things going on within the, you know, my family of origin. There's a lot of brothers and sisters that I have, but hi, it's Frank. My dad's name is Frank. It was like FRNK. Hi, it's Frank, you know, and there was some message. I can't remember what it was, but it was something, you know, some advice, you know, but it was kind of truncated, little bit of advice of that would be directly applicable to, you know, him. And I was like, God, that's amazing. Anyway, it turns out it wasn't the only time. He learned how to text from the other side. And occasionally we'd get, you know, get text. I haven't heard it from, you know, years, you know, many years, but it was very interesting, the timing and the text.
Yeah, I think that plays a lot into it, whether or not we are actually open to receiving that information at that time. You know, if your mind wanders there, you know, if you're thinking about them, they say that opens a channel for them to be able to connect with you almost instantly because you're vibrating on their frequency. You know, it's like playing a chord on the guitar and the one next to it vibrates with it, right? They're in resonance. And for that moment, you are in communication. Electronics are one of those things that it's probably easy for them to be in communication with. All right, you guys, if you are loving this, you have your own ghost stories, you want to find out how to do more, we have a class coming up on October 30th. It's the beginning of three classes. Every class is held on a day that is a porter lay or 11-11 or a full moon. It's going to be a huge amount of fun. And we are going to teach you many, many ways, actually, to be able to open that part of your brain and receive messages, touch, taste, sound, sight, all of it. And in a way that is going to feel fun and spooky, but also is scientific. So let's take our second break. We'll hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay. And we are back. So go to it's cognomovement.com/upcoming events or cognomovement.com/pierce the veil. And you can come to that class. All right. So let's tell a couple more ghost stories. One of the things that I experience all the time is someone brushing their hand down my hair to And it happens a lot of times when I'm sitting here at the desk.
Ah.
Just walk in. And that is something that would happen even before my parents died. And I'm almost positive it's my grandmother who does it.
Oh.
So I just always say, hey, grandma. And I actually feel my hair ruffle. Mm. Like, it's not just a sensation. It's literally my hair moves all the way down into my shoulder. So that's one of those touch kinesthetic experiences. You know, it really is true. It's about being able to process the data, the information. I would venture that all of us are having these experiences all the time, but our system, one, does not let them in, or two, doesn't know how to process them. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with belief. You know, in cultures where this is perfectly normal to have these experiences, people have those experiences more. In cultures where it's not so normal, or it's not allowed, or even forbidden, people maybe have them less or are willing to talk about them less, for sure. But it's true, like, smell is a huge one. The other night, Leah and I both had the same experience of tasting perfume. Nobody was there. There was nobody with perfume. I was in bed. I think Lee was in her office in another, you know, house across town. And all of a sudden there's this wafting taste, smell and taste of perfume. And it wasn't perfume we recognized. That was weird. So smelling, you know, the perfume of someone you've loved or known, all of a sudden, I mean, that olfactory sense for some people is their strongest sense, right? And they can interpret that. They can perceive that. It reminds their nervous system of that person. But sound is one as well. Sound is another one. So one day I'm in my house, and this is many years ago, and we had just moved into this house. So we'd maybe been here 3 years. And we had this cat, and it was kind of a terrible cat. She didn't like anyone. But weirdly, she was sitting in the intersection of my dining room, my living room, and a hallway. She never really hung out there. She didn't really like me. She didn't like anybody. And I kept hearing these footsteps moving through from the kitchen down the hallway. And I kept thinking, well, it must be somebody on the road, like thump, 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 you know, music, the sound of music thumping in. So, but here's this cat sitting, and I'm hearing the footsteps moving from the kitchen down the hallway. And sure enough, she's watching them. You see her watching as though somebody's walking right by through the kitchen, down the hallway. Well, so as it turns out, when we first moved here, and for many, many years when my kids were still at home, there was somebody else here. And my son, one day we were talking about it, and he pops up and he goes, yeah, I know who that is. And he told us all about this person and who they were. And interestingly, after that, we're all like, oh, okay, I guess. After that, we really kind of stopped having the experience. It was almost like once somebody said their name and said who they were and what they were about in life, they weren't around anymore.
Wow, that's weird.
Isn't that weird? What's interesting is there are so many of those things that happens in our life that I forget half of them. Like, they're not outstanding, strangely, anymore. And with my son, there were so many of those kinds of things. But I'll have to ask him and see if he remembers about it. What are just an average, regular person, nothing exciting. So being able to hear it, touch it, smell it, sometimes even taste, you'll get a taste in your mouth. That will happen to me occasionally, where all of a sudden you can taste metal, like metal in the mouth, or the taste of a very particular food that's not present. And then all of a sudden that goes to a memory, a very vivid, vivid memory. And so that's very likely another way that information is trying to get in, but through a different sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times, I don't know if how often you had this one, but I can't tell you how many times I have been working with somebody on an issue, and all of a sudden, a strange smell. Mm-hmm. It's not that strange. Maybe the smell is like cigarettes or a pipe or cigar.
Yep.
Or it might be a odd perfume. But I'm working with the individual, you know, who's working on whatever kind of issue they have. And all of a sudden this smell shows up, you know, like cigarettes whatever. And I ask them, is there anybody, relative that you had that was a smoker or smoked pipes or cigars, you know, whatever is that particular smell? And they're like, you know, let's say it's a cigar. It's like, oh, yeah, my dad loved cigars. He always had a cigar stuck in his mouth, you know. And so anyway, I find it fascinating that when people do this work, you know, the kind of seems like the ancestors kind of coming around to, you know, just, hey, you know, help out.
You know, they absolutely do. My office where I see people in person, next door, it's a record store. Sometimes that is very inconvenient. You can hear the music next door. And what's funny is most of the time it sort of drowns into the background. But occasionally a person will be working and they'll be talking about a dead ancestor, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a brother, or a sister. And all of a sudden, they become aware that the song that is being played is that person's favorite song. Or the song that is the most meaningful.
Yeah.
And somehow there is this communication that goes on unseen where the guy next door, and he's an old curmudgeon guy, mm-hmm. puts that record on mm-hmm. right before the moment in which the person I'm working with, their system, the brainstem actually opens and allows that in, allows that communication, because I wouldn't have noticed the song because I tune it out, right? But all of a sudden, their hearing opens and they're like, oh my God, that's my loved one. And most people hear it as a clear communication, even though that's not the point of the session. But it happens regularly enough that I'm like, I kind of start to expect it. And we have that happen where all of a sudden the person perceives the smell of perfume or the smell of a food that person liked. Very, very often. And it's the function of that. Our sessions, the intention is to get the nervous system out of fight or flight. And it naturally happens that they are in this more receptive state. That reticular activating system relaxes and lets more information in. So I have one last story that I'll share, and it's a personal one. And I think I've shared this before, but I don't share it that often. So I was kind of born like this. You know, my kids were sort of born like this. We get information. But for a lot of my life in the religion I was in, that was not allowed. So I never talked about it. I really sort of just put it to the side. So I'd gone to this class. It was called the Sedona Method. And the whole thing was very just about kind of letting go of emotions through sensation. So we were working for 2 days. And then the second day, I was sitting across from this woman who I had introduced me to the class, but I didn't know her at all. And you were supposed to find a partner that you didn't know, you didn't come with. But she was sort of afraid. This was going to be kind of an intimate session where you look in each other's eyes. So she grabbed me and made me be her partner. So for like 2 minutes or 5 minutes, I don't know, it felt like eternity. We had to look into each other's eyes. Well, we're both in a very kind of expanded and relaxed state by this point. All of a sudden, I start to see a woman's face with a lot of makeup superimposed on the woman's face I was sitting across from. Now, the woman I was sitting across from had been very ill. She was very, very pale, white hair, no makeup. Very, very pale. She looked ill. And all of a sudden, there's this superposition of makeup, a lot of makeup on. I'm like, what? In my mind, I'm thinking, what the hell is this, right? And then that fades. And then the next thing I see is a face next to her that looks very angelic. Now, I don't have a history of angels because in the religion we were in, that's not something that, you know, was talked about or worshiped or anything like that. So this very angelic, golden-haired, beautiful face shows up next to her. I'm like, what is happening? I can't say anything because I'm looking at this woman. We're not supposed to talk, right? I'm just watching this scene go and sort of wondering if I was hallucinating a little bit. Pretty soon, this angel-like being stands up and is behind her, looking as though she's trying to hoist her up. You know how you hoist somebody up from under the arms? Like hoist up from under the arms. I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? So I watch this happen and the session ends and they say, thank you, the session end. If you have something to say to your partner. And to my own horror, I leaned forward and told this woman what I saw. And as I'm saying it, as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, what are you doing? Shut up. And the woman received this information as though I had told her about a sandwich. Like she said, oh, thank you. Well, I got up and ran out of the room. I mean, my heart was racing. It wasn't that much of a surprise that I saw that, but I couldn't believe I said it. Later on in the day, now I'm out of it. I don't hear anything that happens for the rest of the session. But what I keep seeing is this silvery white being like zipping around, like behind her. So she comes back again later on and says, you have anything more for me? And out of my mouth comes, they keep trying to lift you up and you're not letting them do it. You're not letting yourself get well. And I'm again like, what the hell are you talking about to myself? Well, this was a full message for her, but I was relaxed. I kind of have this proclivity anyway. And my system allowed that in, but also allowed the message to come out. Anyway, we're at the end of this episode, Bill. This was fun.
Fun and also bizarrely revealing.
Yeah, it was. All right, everybody, join us. This class, if you want to learn more about this, how to do it, and more of the science behind it, we will be beginning on October 30th. Come to cognomovement.com, come to upcoming events, and you will be able to sign up for this class. All right. Until next week, be safe and be well.